This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We're going to get to making fun of this former Washington Post columnist here in a few. I'm even going to trash Major League Baseball. I'll get to a bunch of emails. But before I do that, I feel a burden of being America's daddy. All right. And sometimes dad has to step in and talk to people. And so we're about to do this because there's a headline from Campus Reform that 77% of Gen Z respondents have brought a parent to a job interview. 77%. So this is not only going to be for kids, this is going to be for parents as well. So let's just talk first. You know how I spent a month in Montana just being with my mom and taking care of things and beaver hunting and things like that. At one point in time, well, we did a lot of hiking up there. Montana's just amazing for the outdoors. You just grab some water and some shoes and you just head to the mountains and you go hiking. And yes, there's wildlife up there and you need to take precautions, things like that. I know what I'm doing, but at one point, we're hiking. There's a trail. And my oldest son, James, 16. Shoot, he's almost 17. Gosh, that's amazing. Anyway, 16 years old. He sees this other trail veering off to the left. And he wants to go by himself. He wants to take off up the mountain and go explore. There are trees and cliffs and rivers and there are things, and he wants to go experience it. Would you have let him? We did. Ob was nervous, obviously. No, what about this? What about that? And by the way, everything she brought up, everything was a completely legitimate complaint. She's not a helicopter parent by any stretch. She was just all, well, what if he runs into this? Or what if he spray? They were all legitimate complaints. Yes. He could have sprained an ankle. Yes, he could have run into a mountain lion. Yeah, all those things and more. All those things are true, and there is risk involved. But it is still critically necessary to let him go. He's got to go explore. He's got to go experience life, experience danger, maybe hurt himself. Drag your butt back down the mountain. I've had to do it before. But you've got to let him go. Parents, let him go. Let him experience some risk. Let him experience life. Let him get hurt within reason. Let him get hurt. Now, for job interviews, I'm going to break this down. I've done this before, but let me explain this. Job interviews are incredibly easy and people screw them up and make them complicated. First of all, you need to dress up. And let me just caution you with this. I don't want a single email explaining to me that it's not a job you dress up for. Jesse, why would I dress up? I'm just applying to be a barista. Jesse, I'm just applying to work at McDonald's. No, I don't want to hear it. I am 44. I have gotten every job in my 44 years that I have ever interviewed for. I am batting 1,000, so take it from me. Dress up. Maybe you don't have money. That's fine. I didn't say you have to go get a $1,000 Armani suit. Maybe the best you can do is go to Walmart or Target and get some cheap khakis, a cheap button-up of some kind. It's not the type of clothing or the expensiveness of the clothing that matters. That doesn't matter at all. What does matter is that your potential employer sees you make an effort. He wants to see an effort. Effort is what matters. The quality of the clothing does not matter. You put on the nicest freaking clothes you have. Yes, even to go drop the fries in the fryer at Jack in the Box. Put on something freaking nice. The job I got, when I got an RV job, I've told you this before. When I got that job in RV sales, I applied on Craigslist. I had zero sales experience. My resume had no reason for you to hire me to go sell RVs. Why did I get that job? Because I walked in for RV sales in a suit and tie all the way. In the lobby, this was a six-figure job. In the lobby, everybody in a t-shirt, shorts. One guy had flip-flops on. Who looked like they were going to be a diligent employee who cared? Without meeting a single one of us. If you're the manager and you look in the lobby, who's the guy who cared? Me. Got the job. Dress up. That's one. Two. Do not show up late under any circumstances. When I have a job interview, I time it so I am there a half hour early. You can say that's too early. Pause. I will show up a half hour early and I will wait in the parking lot until 15 minutes before my interview, and then I will walk in. So why show up a half hour early? Do you know there's going to be a car wreck? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not going to get a flat tire? Are you sure? Budget for those things. I don't want to hear excuses. If you show up late for a job interview, you're out. First impression means everything. If you can't show up on time to interview for the job, I will never hire you in a million years. Goodbye. Dress up and get there way before you need to. Now, the interview itself. And I know this stuff sounds very basic. Older people are probably bored to tears because this stuff was taught back then. It's apparently not taught anymore. A firm handshake. These limp-wristed handshakes have got to go. It's awful on men and women. Women should have a firm handshake too. You don't try to break their hand. A firm handshake. When you shake their hand, look someone in the eye and shake their hands. You know what actually bothers me? Is my sons, when they meet people, you know how they do that thing in church where, okay, we did sung a song, now greet someone around you. Every church freaking does this. You know how often my sons get complimented on their handshake? They turn around and they're shaking people's hands. Whoa, firm handshake. You know why it bothers me? Because it's a shock to people around them. That should be a given. It's a shock. Whoa, wow, great handshake. Firm handshake. Look somebody in the eye. And finally, for your ultimate interview tip, now that you've showed up on time, now that you have dressed up, now that you shook hands, now that you looked them in the eye, this is maybe the most important tip. All these tips matter, but this is by far the most important tip I can give you for nailing a job interview. Shut up. You are nervous, understandably. You want the job. So when you get nervous, you want to talk your way through it. You want to talk your way into the job. I've had a million job interviews. I've had a million different jobs. And you know what they all had in common? Nothing. Sometimes they wanted to discuss the company. Sometimes they wanted to discuss the job. Sometimes they wanted to discuss high school, puppies, golf. Sometimes they wanted to discuss cars. And if you are sitting there running your mouth, you will have no idea what that interviewer wants to talk about. If you show up with this pre-planned speech and garbage like that, you are going to find yourself talking about things they don't care about at all. So shut up and listen. Just listen. They will guide the conversation where they want it to go. And if you have pre-programmed yourself with a speech, I've seen this before, you may even hear their guidance, but try to ignore it and steer it back to the speech you have memorized. Just go with whatever they're talking about. And don't be nervous about it. If you find yourself discussing your high school volleyball team, because that's what interests them, sit there and discuss your high school volleyball team. That interviewer is going to leave that interview with an impression of you. If you talk about what they want to talk about, because they're human beings, they're going to have a good one. Shut up and listen. All right? Follow those simple steps. You will get the job most of the time, because the 10 morons who interviewed before you didn't do any of those things. Congratulations, you got the job. Now you can pay your bills and you can switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk, which you need to do that anyway, because you're going to save a bunch of money. You need to switch to Pure Talk because it'll save you a bunch of money. It's not just that Pure Talk does super cool things. Like, remember in Independence Day when they sent out those flags to veterans? You know how many emails I got of people? Oh, my dad, Jesse, my dad was so blessed. Jesse, my that's awesome. That's powerful. Pure Talk doesn't just do things like that. They save you money. They're on the exact same 5G network as one of the big guys, so you don't have to sit and stress. Well, I can't, Jesse, I can't afford to drop calls. Jesse, I have a job. I can't. No. I'm not asking you to sacrifice a thing. I'm trying to save you money and get you to switch to the patriotic cell phone company that loves you, that loves this country, fought for this country, to be frank. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. Now let's talk about this reporter who got fired because he couldn't be patriotic. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and we will get to some of those emails. I just thought I wanted to hit this because it is so, so revealing. So often these communists, now that everybody has to go on every podcast and voice every single thought, which I realize is a little bit hypocritical for me to say since I talk for 4 hours a day, but everyone has to vomit every single thought out there for public consumption, the communists will eventually just tell you who they are and what they really believe. I know you probably don't know who Jonathan Capehart is. He is a longtime columnist, or I should say was, longtime columnist with the Washington Post. His stupid face has been all over television, vomiting out communist talking points for ages. You know, in case you don't remember, this Jonathan Capehart.
And now I can't help but think that if this election seems to be, if it proves out that the millions of people who are watching Fox News, if that ends up being the case, then I can't help but wonder if the American people have given up on democracy.
Yeah.
Simply because you're
getting non-biased reporting like that. Okay, so he's a dirty communist pretending to be a journalist. Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, bought the Washington Post. And he put out essentially a memo to his employees, and this is what it said, quote, "We are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties, and free markets. We'll cover other topics too." Why did Bezos do that? Is he some dyed-in-the-wool America lover? No, there's nothing in his history that shows that's who he is. He's a man who understands the Washington Post is losing money. It's losing money because it's probably the most evil communist rag in the United States of America. So, yeah, they're going to sell newspapers inside of Washington, D.C., where all the communists live. But outside of that, there's no desire for it. This is the paper when the ISIS leader was killed. Who was it? Delta Force that got him? I think it was the Delta Force boys who got him. When they killed the leader of ISIS, The headline they posted online did not call him an evil terrorist. It called him an austere religious scholar. That's how sick and depraved the Washington Post is. So Capehart, he leaves. But it's his quote. It's his quote that just exposes exactly how these people think. Remember the three things they all have in common? What's the first one? No love of country. Sometimes they openly hate it, but there's never any love of it. Listen to this. Quote, Jeff Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post, as is his right, decided he wanted the section to focus on the twin pillars of personal liberties and free markets, Capehart said. And it became clear as time went along, and especially when he chose a new leader for the section, he's talking about the comments section, that there were just not going to be any room for a voice like mine, especially when we were told we would have to be unapologetically patriotic in talking about the positive things happening in the country. He was a columnist with one of the biggest newspapers in the United States of America, and he gave up a 20-year career rather than write something positive about the United States of America. There's a reason Democrats didn't fly an American flag at their convention. There's a reason every time they talk about America, they're crapping on it. It's who they are. They can't help it. They've been taken over by America-hating savages. And look, even the ones who have to try to play the middle of the road, even they can't outright reject things like communism. Here's a great example. Alyssa Slotkin, she's a senator from Michigan. Michigan's very much a purple state. Donald Trump wins Michigan. So she can't be, you know, she can't be Adam Schiff of California. She has to try to play the middle ground somehow. So she's asked about the communist who's about to be the mayor of New York, Zohan Mamdani. Listen to this non-committal bunch of garbage.
Yeah, I've said very openly that I never would be called an expert on New York City politics, but the two messages were like a blinking red light. How can you miss them? People are still extremely focused on the cost of living and how they can't get ahead. Still the motivating issue. And then number two, they want that new generation of leadership.
Even she has to play for the purple state crowd. Even she can't outright condemn a guy who talks about abolishing public property or abolishing private property and defunding the police. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, I really hope, guy says, I support Kamala for president. I really hope she runs for president. This increases the skeletons that will come out about Newsom and vice versa. It will certainly damage both of their political futures and will likely end hers. So I've been thinking about this. I can't help it. I'm a political nerd. You're a political nerd or you wouldn't be listening to this. So don't be scoffing at me. I can't help it. I'm interested in this stuff. And when I find myself daydreaming, which, as you know, I'm an expert at, when I'm daydreaming, I'll daydream about the future and future things that may come. And I've been thinking about the Democrat race in 2028. And I have a prediction. And Chris, you are going to have to go ahead and write this one down, all right? Before I give you the prediction for 2028, I want to do this. We have trade wars that are here now officially. 50% tariffs on India. We are about to get in a nasty one with China. That's going to mean problems in the market. How safe is your retirement? I can't tell you to invest in this stock or this bond or go with this guy. He's my financial consultant. I don't do that. What I will do is what I've always done. Tell you to buy things you can touch and feel. Land, real estate, and precious metals. Because come what may, those things last. Get some precious metals in your retirement. Get some in your physical possession. Let Gold Co. do it for you. With Gold Co., you might even qualify for thousands of dollars in free bonus silver. Get something. They'll give you a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit if you call them. 855-817-GOLD or JesseLikesGold.com. That's 855-817-GOLD. 877-817-GOLD. Let's do some emails next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Dear Menu Whisper, has Jewish producer Chris ever brought in Jewish food for you to try? Gefilte fish, matzo ball soup, Mandel bread cookies, even bagels? Or is he too stingy to share his culture? He brought in bagels a couple times, and they were really good, I'll be honest. And I've said this before, but a breakfast bagel, a bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast bagel with mayonnaise or Miracle Whip is the height of breakfast. And I am a breakfast connoisseur. Scrambled eggs, over easy eggs, pancakes, waffles, toast, sausage, bacon. I like chicken fried steak, biscuits and gravy. I like it all. I like it all. A good breakfast bagel is as good as it gets. And really one of the only palatable Jewish foods there is. What, Chris? What? Chris said everything else on that list is awful. No, I've tried it all. You don't understand. I've had to suffer with Jewish food so many times. I've told you before, I have a bunch of friends who are Jewish. My campaign manager was Jewish, and we're talking like Orthodox. So you show up and you can't even get the cheese combined with the meat. It's just unbelievable how bad the tribe's food is. I don't understand, but man, a bagel, gosh, a good breakfast bagel is it's so good. Jesse, what's with that red wedding ring? Ob couldn't get you gold because it's too heavy with your tiny hands? Oh, okay. So I should discuss this. I have this super, super thin wedding band on. And all right, so you know how I hate jewelry? I guess we're doing Ask Dr. Jesse some tonight. I'm just not a jewelry guy. I got that from my father when I was a very small child in the 80s. All the rock bands, you know, Guns N' Roses, everything else I listened to, they all had earrings. So I thought, well, that's cool. So I should get one of those. And I brought it up to my father, and he let me know in no uncertain terms if I ever walked in the house with an earring, he would rip it out of my head. And he was not kidding. He said, I will not take it off. I will tear it out of your ear. Men don't wear earrings. I said, okay, Dad, you know, that sounds good. So I don't have necklaces. I actually own one. I bought one at this shop and I never wear it. I'm not big on that stuff. The bracelets and things like that. I'm just not a jewelry guy. Oh, Chris said, what happened to the prediction? Crap. I forgot I teased a prediction. I'll come back to my jewelry thing. My prediction is that Kamala Harris will not run for president in 2028. Now listen, let me explain. She's 60. That's still relatively young, especially in politics. She's 60 years old. The Democrat Party right now is historically unpopular. Gavin Newsom is going to get in with a big war chest. J.B. Pritzker is going to get in with a huge stomach and a huge war chest. The Rear Admiral is going to back his way into the race. We all know that. Kamala Harris has one more, meaning you can run a race for politics and lose. You can and bounce back. Many, many have before. When you run for president and you raise that much money and lose, you've got one more of those. She has one more chance. One more chance. I don't think she takes it in 2028. I think she sits back, watches the Democrat field get wiped out by J.D. Vance, runs again in 2032. That's my prediction. Back to what I was discussing, Chris. Back to what I was discussing. So I had a traditional wedding band. Believe me, nothing fancy. It was white gold or something like that. Look, we didn't have any money. It was just a basic wedding band when we got married, but it was one of the standard fat wedding bands that guys have. I hated it. I always hated it. I never got used to it when I'm grabbing things, whatever, when I'm shooting, fishing, lifting weights, when I'm doing anything. It's always a bother. It's always bugging me. It's always pressing on my other fingers. I don't like it. I don't wear rings. I'm not Italian. I don't want it. So I make the terrible decision a few years ago to get one of the super, super thin metal ones. It's majorly tiny, majorly tiny. And it looks super small because my hands are so big. I get one of these super thin ones. I am telling you right now, there is going to come a day where I am going to come on the radio and I am going to tell you I lost my finger, my ring finger. This super thin wedding band catches on everything because it's so thin. And if I forget to take it off when I'm doing something, I have almost not cut off, torn my finger off of my hand multiple times. When I do physical things, what, Chris, what are you holding up? I can't see it. Chris said, get a thick ring. I tried the thick ring and I hated that too. What I want is one of those rubber ones. But, or I think they're silicone or whatever it is. What I want is one of those. And I know I will put off getting one of those until I have no fingers at all. I know this is going to happen, but that's the story on the wedding ring. Now, let's get back to politics. Jesse, thank you for your defense of Oregon at the end of last night's show. Whenever Oregon is in the news, it's almost always Portland. It gives people from out of state the idea that the entire state is like Portland. Most of the state is red, farmers, ranchers, hardworking people. Dude, Oregon is one of the most beautiful states in the United States of America. The Pacific Northwest is ridiculously cool. Washington is this way too, and everyone thinks Washington is Seattle. Portland and Seattle were both way cool American cities, way cool. 15, 20 years ago, they went from being Democrat to communist, and they've kind of trashed themselves. But if you get away from those cities, Eastern Washington, you get out into the countryside of Oregon, it's so green, and there's rivers, and there's hills, and it's awesome. People get mad because the communists destroyed California, and that's very valid. It's our biggest, most important state. It's beautiful. It's everything. All that stuff's valid. I am most angry that they wrecked the Pacific Northwest. I would live in Oregon in a heartbeat. I would live in Oregon. See, Chris is scowling. Go look at their congressional districts. The guy or lady, I didn't look. Whoever wrote that email in, he's dead right. You can't imagine how blood red most of the state is. It's a couple big urban centers. It's the Portlands and Eugenes and Salems. It's a couple big urban centers that outnumber the poor people in rural Oregon, and they have to suffer. We all suffer. We have to suffer with Chris. It's brutal. What, Chris? I'm just being honest about things here. Hey, Jesse. The world is witnessing two phenomena they've never seen before in human history. Leaders of nations killing a large percentage of their own citizens, and leaders of nations opening their countries to invasion by non-assimilating conquering hordes with the rape and murder of their citizens. What do these national leaders have in common that makes them so willing to kill their own citizens? We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, speaking of killing our own citizens, millions and millions and millions of Americans are not walking among us because they were killed in their mother's womb. Millions of them. Well north of 60 million. Isn't that an unbelievable number? Isn't that so sad that we allowed that to happen in this country? That war is ongoing. We didn't win it when Roe versus Wade was overturned. That was nice. It was fine. It's good. But we didn't win it. Remember, we are at just about 60 years of women being indoctrinated in this country that they should just kill any baby they don't want. We have to fight back against that by going after hearts and minds. And that is what an ultrasound does. That young, scared woman needs to be introduced to that wonderful little baby growing inside of her with an ultrasound. When she hears the heartbeat, it's like magic. It's from God. It's amazing. Give her that ultrasound with preborn. $28 buys the ultrasound. You give them whatever you want. You give them $28,000. It's all tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, whatever you would like. So the guy said, you know, we've never seen this before in human history. Leaders of nations opening up their countries to invasion by, you know, inviting in all these hordes. But that's just not true, you see. Don't worry, I'm going to get to offending everybody about the Major League Baseball umpires, and we'll talk about what Tulsi Gabbard said in a minute, but that's not true. I've read you the quote before from Aristotle. Quote, another mark of a tyrant is that he likes foreigners better than citizen and lives with them and invites them to his table. Well, Aristotle wasn't born yesterday. Why is that a mark of a tyrant? Why is that what tyrants do? Why do Democrats want the border open? Why do they bring in as many as they can? Why did the left-wing parties in Germany, the UK, France, why did they bring in as many foreigners as they possibly can? Well, there's another quote. It's attributed to Sun Tzu, and I don't know that Sun Tzu's the one who said it, but the quote is, an evil man will burn his own nation to the ground to rule over the ashes. People in power, sometimes they're wonderful. Sometimes they use power to better their nation, to protect their nation, to protect people, to serve people. There are good people who have held power and hold power today. That is obviously not always the case. People get power and they will do anything to keep it. Anything. There is something about power that is intoxicating to man. Man after man after man after man has turned evil, ruined himself, ruined his country in pursuit of more power, in pursuit of keeping the power he had. Let's use Stalin for an example. Everyone knows Stalin killed millions and millions and millions. He may have outpaced Mao for how many of his people he killed. We'll never know exact numbers because communists not only kill people en masse, they cover it up. But what was the main driver for all that murder? All that murder. Why did Stalin murder so many Russians? What was the deal with that? Stalin was terrified that his power would be taken away, that there would be a coup, that there would be some sort of subversion from within. And he loved being in power so much that he would simply kill millions and millions and millions of people. Stalin would gather up large numbers of people who he thought there was a possibility that someone in that group would want him dead, would organize a resistance against him, and he would just kill them all. He would gather 100 Polish people. It got to the point they were tracking down anyone with the Polish name. They were going through the registry to find out who possibly had, you know, a second cousin who was Polish. Oh, your mother's brother's uncle's sister's dog was Polish. Line him up against the wall and fire a bullet in his head, because he was constantly concerned that his power would be taken away. When man is worried that his power is under attack, that his power is threatened, he will do the most evil things in the world. Now, for the left, you understand that the American right, I'm talking about you, the American right is the last bastion of freedom on the planet. Do you realize that? It's not America as a whole anymore. That's not true. We've lost huge portions of this country to the communists. They're now run by communists. But the American right is the last group of people on the planet that is large, armed, and committed to being free. The entire world knows that. Do you know that? European leaders know it. Chinese leaders know it. Russia knows it. Saudi Arabia knows it. Africa knows it. South America knows it. And you can bet your sweet behind, American Democrats know it. The one thing, the one group, the one entity that can possibly stop them, that can possibly hold them back from all the evil crap they want to do, is you. Hopefully that makes you feel good. It should. You are a fighter in the last good side on planet Earth. You. So what do you do about that? If you're an evil person trying to burn down the country, trying to enrich yourself, trying to stay in power, trying to do all these things, well, you just crowd you out. If there's a tiny town, Springfield, Ohio, if there's 2,500 people in the town, you look at the voter rolls, looks like that's a Trump town. Most of them voted for Trump. Go grab 2,000 people from Haiti, hand them a cat and a $500 Visa card, and they'll vote Democrat for the rest of their lives. That's the truth. It's not the first time in history. Aristotle talked about it. It's what they do. They did it in Rome. Did you know that? That was part of the breakup of Rome. Those annoying patriotic Romans who wanted jobs and they wanted the country better. The elites wanted all the power for themselves, all the money for themselves. So, hey, let's get some foreigners in here. Let's hand them some land. They don't care about our history. They're not worried about any of that, the greatness of Rome. They're worried about themselves. Get them in here. Let's make sure we outnumber these annoying patriotic Romans with disloyal foreigners. Once we get that done, there's nobody left to stop us. Don't you find it pretty revealing that this open borders insanity has taken place in every single Western country? Why would that be? They all came up with the same plan? Of course they did. It's a plan to bring in the third world hordes because they'll vote for the left forever, and they hate our country and they hate our history. You're the last group to protect it. Smile about that. Let's talk about what Tulsi Gabbard said next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.